Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, February 12th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Quite a bit of news to talk about, actually. A couple of fight announcements, including Super Fight in Bellator, which is going to be awesome. Fighter was suspended, fighters on PFL, some betting odds. But I'm going to start at the top with the UFC making a bunch of roster cuts. 14 roster cuts, which is crazy. You don't see that many guys generally cut from the UFC, but that's the that's what they did here, cutting 14 fighters, including Ben Saunders and Juan Adams. So let's get right into it, because there was a lot of cuts, and they're definitely worth talking about. So probably the most notable fighter cut, I think, is Ben Saunders. And this is not his first time being cut by the UFC. It's his third time actually being released. He's been in the UFC three different times. Overall, Ben Saunders has a 9-10 record in the UFC, so a losing record, but he's fought really high-level competition. Definitely a dangerous guy. Knockout power, submission prowess, but he gets knocked out a lot. And he's lost his last four fights. He's actually been finished in six of his last seven fights. So really no surprise, I guess, that he's been released after getting finished by Matt Brown at UFC 245. I'm a Ben Saunders fan, so I would have liked to see him stick around a little bit longer. He's always putting on good fights, win or lose. But I can definitely see why the UFC released him. I mean, his last one was against Jake Allenberg a couple of years ago, and that's a guy who's retired as well. So, you know, love Ben Saunders, but I guess I can see why the UFC made the cut here. Where's Ben going to go next? He could retire. You know, I think he's probably going to end up in Bellator again if he wants to keep fighting. You know, that's where I would guess he would go back to. But it's going to be totally, you know, up to him what he wants to do. I could see really going either way, retire or go back to Bellator. I think they would take him back. Going down the list here, I just mentioned Juan Adams. That actually happened this morning. Zane Simon actually reported these cuts. But Juan Adams was released. And this is not really a surprise either, I don't think. He hasn't looked too good lately in the UFC. He's been finished in his last two fights, lost his last three, just 1-3 in the UFC. Usually guys sign four fight deals, so his deal is over. But he says he's going to work on his game and come back. So, you know, Juan Adams is a pretty popular guy. On social media and stuff, fans do seem to like this guy. So I think he could be back one day, but he's got a lot to work on. His chin's not very good. So I could see him honestly not even making it back to the UFC. Where is he going to go next? I think a Contender Series or LFA. LFA in particular would be a good spot for him. PFL might make a run at him. I don't think that's a good spot for him. Bellator, I don't think, is the right spot for him either, but we'll see what happens with Juan Adams. Going down the list here, you had Lucy Pudilova. She had a couple wins early on in her UFC career, but just started losing after that. Overall, just finished at 6-2-5 in the UFC, so not very good. Lost her last four fights, but did win two fight of the nights during that time. So, again, you know, fighter, I think they could have kept her around for one more, even though she has lost four, just because she has won a couple fight of the nights. But you could obviously see why the UFC cut her with four straight losses. The one that surprised a lot of people, Brad Katona, getting released. Former Ultimate Fighter winner. A lot of people were kind of surprised by this news here. He's lost his last two fights, though, to Andre Azar and Mirab Dvalishvili. They let him go. I would have kept him around for one more as well, you know, but definitely is a guy that I think Bellator will be interested in. I think he could do really well there. I think PFL will be interested in him, possibly, depending on what kind of tournaments they run. He's mostly fought at bantamweight, but he can fight at featherweight as well. So if they do a bantamweight tournament, he'd be a good spot, a good guy to put in their tournament there. But featherweight, you could slot in as well. Going on the list here, you also had Daniel Spitz. He's a heavyweight who just struggled in the UFC, 1-3 record overall. Nothing special. Back-to-back losses to Tanner Boser, Walt Harris. No surprise there. Darko Stosic. This is a guy that a lot of people liked, including myself, really, at the beginning of his career. I thought this guy, in the UFC career, I should say, I thought he had a lot of potential. I mean, he was coming off a couple wins on the regional scene over Deion Staring, former Strikeforce fighter, fought Daniel Cormier at one point. Goes to UFC, beats Jeremy Kimmel, knocks him out, and then lost three straight fights. Didn't look very impressive. So I can see why they cut him. But yeah, just disappointing, because I thought this guy was actually going to be a decent prospect for a while. Hector Aldana is another guy that I think a lot of people were not surprised about here, because his record is 4-3. So it's a bad record, and his record in the UFC is 0-3. He had some decent fights, but I mean, that record is terrible. And it's actually incredible he lasted that long in the UFC. He caught a lot of rope. Luke Joe was a guy that I was a little surprised about being released. 2-2 in the UFC, never had a losing streak of more than one fight, but didn't fight very often, only basically once a year the last 3 years. So no surprise there, I guess. They're trying to trim the fat for the roster. I think they could have kept him around for one more fight on like an Australia card or a New Zealand card, but They obviously deemed him expendable. Salim Dahari, another guy that no surprise here. Salim Dahari, 0-3 in the UFC. When you go 0-3 and all his fights were decisions, nothing exciting. No surprise there. Disappointing, though, because, I mean, majority of his wins on the regional scene were stoppage wins. He goes to the UFC and just puts on stinkers. So disappointing, but again, 0-3, you're going to be cut. Martin Bravo, 1-3 in the UFC. Nothing special, really. He had a nice win in his debut over Claudio Pelas. Knocked him out, but then lost three straight fights. He did have a fight against Alex Caceres. That always does help, but yeah, three straight losses is never good. And his last fight against Steven Peterson, getting knocked out with a spinning back fist, obviously he's not very good as well. Brandon Davis is another guy. Fans were a little upset about this guy getting cut. Not a great fighter by any means. His record in the UFC is not very good, 2-5. But to be fair to this guy, I mean, he's fought really high-level competition for the most part. Guys like Zabit, I wouldn't say really high level, but a decent level competition, I should say. Zabi was obviously his highest level fight, but Barzola, Kang, Bogdiak, these guys are decent fighters. His last fight against Chicken Daisy, though, I think that's the one that the UFC is like, you know what, this guy's just not good enough. Back-to-back split decision losses, they let him go. So, you know, he's a guy that I think could be back at some point. The UFC, I think, does like him. They kept him around for a while. He's going to get a few wins. He's kind of like in the same situation as Bogdiak, who was also released. Paulo Reyes was released, another guy who struggled. 4-4 record. First three fights in the UFC were wins, and then since then, 1-4. So he struggled badly. He's been knocked out in his last three fights. No surprise here. I mean, you get knocked out in three straight fights, you're probably going to get a cut. Carlos Hoshan, 0-2 in the UFC. Again, nothing special about this guy. Only 23, though, so very young. Kind of had a rough go getting Raoni Barcelos' debut. I was at that fight last year in Brazil. He got smashed. And then he lost to Jose Quinones. That's a guy you got to beat, I think, to stick around. It's like a gatekeeper. And the last guy on the list here, Grigory Popov, 0-2 in the UFC. He lost to Eddie Wineland by knockout in his debut. And then lost a split decision in his last fight to Davey Grant. A lot of people thought he won that fight. Lost it on the judges' scorecards. Gets cut. So, you know, for me, like, there's no, like, controversial cuts. I just think maybe they could have kept Ben around for another fight. Again, I love the guy, so I'd like to see him stick around. But, like, of course, you lose four straight fights, you're getting knocked out every fight, you're going to get cut. Brad Catone is probably the one, like, real surprise, considering he's a former Ultimate Fighter winner. Like, it's just weird. Like, they put so much – they invested so much in the Ultimate Fighter. Like, they had the show. The guy, yeah, he lost his last two, but he also won two fights. And then they just cut him. It's kind of weird, right? Like, I know he's kind of struggled the last few fights, but I think Brad Catone could beat a lot of guys in that division. So, to me, that's the one cut that's very questionable here. But for the most part, I mean, it's guys that have losing records. When you have a losing record in the UFC and you're not really an exciting fighter, you're going to be released. And that's what happened here. So if you guys want, leave a comment about these cuts. But I know that a lot of people think they're pretty justified, including Juan Adams. A lot of people were calling for him to be cut after getting knocked out by Justin Toffa. And now today on Wednesday, he's been released. All right, let's get to some betting odds here. BestFightOdds.com posted some odds today. I think they're from BetOnline. And BetOnline has been doing a pretty good job, actually, of getting some odds out early. You know, Nick, when Nick used to do the odds, he was really good at this. But Dave at BetOnline is actually pretty solid. You know, he gets the lines up pretty fast. They opened the odds for rematch between Jones and Reyes. Jones minus 220, Reyes plus 177. So kind of a weird number there on Reyes. But basically, it's 2-1 for Jones. And, I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, the first fight on the weekend closed, I think it was minus 440. I was taking a look at it today. Minus 440, minus 450, something like that. So it's basically half that line. It's interesting. I mean, John Jones does really well in rematches, as we've seen. He smashed DC Gus in the rematches. My guess would be he would win this rematch as well. But Dominic Reyes, definitely capable challenger, as we saw. Very, very interesting fight if it does happen again. I don't think these odds are terrible by any means. I probably would have opened it a little bit tighter, you know, to be honest with you, because I think there's going to be a lot of respect shown towards Reyes, but definitely an interesting fight and not a bad line. And the other line is Stipe Miocic against John Jones. Stipe open as a favorite, minus 160, Jones plus 130. You very rarely see John Jones open as an underdog, but I think in this case it's justified considering Jones would be moving up to heavyweight for this potential fight. That's a tough call, especially against a guy like Stipe, who's, you know, just such a monster. So if those two fall right now, I mean, it's an interesting fight, right? Like, I think last week most of us would have said John Jones probably wins, but now it's like a lot of people would say Stipe. So definitely interesting line. Tough one for the sports books to open. I think Stipe opening as a favorite probably does make a little bit of sense. I'd like to see this fight, guys, personally, but I'm not sure if they're going to do it right now. I have a feeling they might do this rematch or just give the winner of Corey Anderson, Jan Blachowicz, the fight against John Jones. So we'll see. But definitely good that the sportsbooks open these odds up. I know a lot of fans want to bet on this stuff. And a lot of other odds actually have been opening the last few days. like Jacare versus Soraya Hall, Jessica Andrade versus Rose, the rematch, Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens, etc. So there's a lot of odds that have been open the last few days. Let's get to a sign here. Justin Willis, Big Pretty, signed with PFL to be in their next heavyweight tournament starting in, I believe, May. It's a good signing, I think, for PFL. Justin Willis, he had an okay run in the UFC. We went 4-1. Beat James Mulhern, Alan Crowder, Jay Sherman, Mark Hunt. Three of those wins by decision, so not the most exciting guy. But the Mark Hunt win put him in the top 15 in the world. Loses to Curtis Blaydes, but, you know, Curtis Blaydes is an absolute monster, so no shame in that. But he had, obviously, a contract dispute with the UFC. They wanted him to fight, I believe, Walt Harris. He didn't end up taking the fight. They ended up cutting him. He hasn't fought since last March, so it's been a while since he's been in the cage. But I think, you know, it's a pretty good sign for PFL. And to be honest with you, he probably is going to be one of the favorites to win their heavyweight tournament just based on his grappling and wrestling alone. So, you know, I think it's a good sign for him. He is only 32, so not a bad age for a heavyweight. He trains at AKA with DC and Kane. Or I don't know if Kane's still training MMA, but you know what I'm saying. DC is obviously a great training partner. I think he'll do really well at PFL. I think it's a good sign for them. And they promised they'd be signing some more fighters, and Justin Willis is the next guy. Michelle Pizarris has been suspended 2 years by USADA for testing positive for banned substances. And I posted a picture of him with the article at BJ Penn. People were just like, wow, like no surprise there. I mean, the guy was always jacked. He was like 5'8" or something and just like absolutely shredded. So, you know, you can't like the eye test doesn't always work in MMA, but I think in this case, it was kind of obvious that this guy was not a clean fighter. He finally gets caught, suspended 2 years. That's actually retroactive to last year. So he'll be back next March. But he'll be like almost 40 years old when he comes back. So Michelle Pizarris actually has a really good record in the UFC, 10-3. It's a great record. But at nearly 40 years old, coming off suspension, I don't know what to expect from him when he gets back. Probably not too much. A couple of fight announcements here. And there's a few in the UFC, but I got to start with this one from Bellator, guys. And this was announced yesterday. Douglas Lima will be taking on Gegard Mousasi. And this is an amazing fight, obviously. Douglas Lima versus Mousasi, just a true super fight in Bellator. It's a fight a lot of us were asking for. I'm so glad it's actually happening. You know, kudos to Bellator, man. They actually do a really good job of getting these fights together that the fans want to see. And I think this is a great fight. Mousasi is coming off a win over Lyoto Machida. He did drop his title to Rafael Lovato Jr. last year. Lovato Jr., of course, relinquished the belt due to health concerns. But overall, Mousasi, he is 4-1 in the UFC. He beat Machida, beat Rory McDonald, beat Rafael Carvalho, beat Alexander Shmenko. The guy is an absolute stud. He had a nice run in the UFC, a great run, including wins over Chris Weidman, Uriah Hall, Vitor Belfort, Thiago Santos, all by knockout. He is one of the, to me, he's one of the best fighters ever, I think. Like, I really do believe Mousasi is one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time. He's got tons of experience, almost 60 fights now. He's been around since 2003. He's got wins over guys like Hector Lombard and Ronaldo Jacare Souza early in his career, Mark Hunt. He's fought at numerous weight classes, middleweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight, open weight. Guy's a stud. I love Mousasi, man. He's great. And the last fight with Machida was not a great fight, but he actually got the win, which was good. And after the first fight they had in the UFC where he got pretty much dominated, although he accused Machida of greasing in that fight. Anyways, Mousasi's still a stud. I know he lost to Lovato. It was a close fight. He did end up losing, but he bounced back with that last one. And then Douglas Lima, his opponent here. I mean, this guy is incredible too, though. So it's like a very interesting fight. Douglas Lima coming off three straight wins in the Bellator Welterweight World Grand Prix. He defeated Andre Korshkov, Michael Page by stoppage, and then Rory McDonald to win the title, win back his belt. He's a three-time Bellator Welterweight champion. He also has wins over guys like Lawrence Larkin, Andre Korshkov, Paul Daly, Ben Saunders. Just a lot of really quality wins. He's been around in Bellator since 2011. I remember watching him in the MFC years ago, and he was a great fighter, and I always thought that he could do really well in the UFC, but he's made a real home for himself in Bellator over the last decade. He's a tremendous talent. He is moving up in weight for this fight, which makes it very intriguing. It's a tough fight to call, guys. Honestly, I think Douglas Lima has a good chance to win this fight. I mean, the guy's striking is absolutely incredible, and he's got great wrestling too. So he's a tremendous fighter, but man, Mousasi's going to be a little bigger, more experienced. I think he probably is just a little bit more dangerous overall at middleweight. So I think you have to lean towards Mousasi just a little bit, considering he's the former middleweight champion. Douglas Lima absolutely has a chance to win this fight, and it's a great fight. I'm so glad Bellator is able to book this fight. It's a real treat, I believe, for the fans. Awesome fight. And kudos to Scott Coker for getting this done. A couple of fight announcements in the UFC. Movsar Evloev will be taking on Jamal Emmers, or UFC 248. Evloev was supposed to fight Douglas Silva de Andrade, who pulled out with an injury. Evloev, 12-0 in his career. He's undefeated. He's 2-0 in the UFC. Beat Enrique Barzola and Sungwoo Choi. He's looked pretty good. He has won both fights in the UFC by decision, but before that was finishing a lot of guys in the Russian regional scene. So a very dangerous guy, undefeated. Taking on Jamal Emmers here, who's a very good prospect. I'm happy the UFC's finally signed this guy. His record's okay. It's 17-4, but he's got some really nice wins, including a great win over Corey Sandhagen for 2017, which is obviously a great win. And then his last four fights have been wins as well. He also has a win over Alexander Hernandez from 2013. Those are two really good wins. The last four wins over guys in LFA, M1 Global, basically regional scene. Definitely a dangerous guy. He did fight in the Contender Series 2 years ago. He got knocked out by Julian Arosa, who obviously is no longer in the UFC himself. But I think since then, he's really improved. He's won his last four fights by stoppage. He's looked great. He just won his fight at LFA 81 a couple weeks ago. Awesome signing here. I think this guy's going to do really well. I still favor Avlov, though. Undefeated, just a really well-rounded guy. But I think Jamal Emmers is a really good signing. Quality pickup here for the UFC. And the other fight now is at UFC 249 in Brooklyn. Lyman Good against Bilal Muhammad. So an interesting fight here as well. Lyman Good is coming off a nice win over Chance Recounter, knocked him out. Chance Recounter was looking really good in the UFC and then gets knocked out in his last fight. Overall, Lyman Good is 3-2 in the UFC. He's only had five fights in 5 years, so that's not good. But, man, he looked really good in that Recounter fight. He has wins by knockout over Recounter, Ben Saunders, and Andrew Craig, and then lost to Elijah Zaleski DeSantis by split, and then lost to Damian Maia by submission. So the guy's pretty dangerous for sure, but Bilal Muhammad is a very good fighter, in my opinion, and a very well-rounded fighter. Overall, he is 7-3. He's coming off really nice win over Takashi Sato by split or submission. His second stoppage win in the UFC in his first submission. Overall, a really good fighter. Won 6 of his last 7 fights. Fight is close to home for Lyman Good, but I favor Bilal Muhammad a little bit. I just think he's a little bit more well-rounded, and I think he's got better cardio. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Lyman Good looked great in that last fight, but I favor Bilal a little bit. I think that's going to be it for today. There's one other thing I got to talk about here quickly. Excuse me. We weren't really able to cover this at BJ Penn, but there is other websites that are coming out with this right now, and including MMA Junkie. So I'm going to talk about this really quickly. MMA Junkie says UFC Hall of Famer BJ Penn has been hospitalized after flipping car investigations for possible DUI. Obviously, really, bad news here all overall. Going to wait for the facts to come out to really make a judgment on this one, but certainly does not sound very good. You know, I did talk to Chris at BJ Penn. He says BJ is okay, but he said the accident was obviously really bad. But you know, definitely the early indications are, you know, not a great accident in general. So I can't talk about this too much, guys, obviously, but, I just hope BJ's okay. And I hope everyone else is okay. If anyone else was involved in the accident, you know, you never want to see anyone get hurt. So definitely some awful news here, but, hopefully everyone's okay from this, and, we're going to see what happens here. You know, I just hope BJ's, okay in general. I mean, obviously he's been going through a lot the last few years. I did meet him last year in Brazil when I was there. He was great. You know, I ended up getting hired by BJPenn.com like the next week. So it all worked out there. But, you know, I know obviously there's some stuff going on in his personal life. We don't get privy to that information just because we work for his website. But I just hope he's okay. You know, that's all I can say about that. And that's about it. The only other thing I'll say is Jorge Masvidal posted a video of Kamaru Usman doing some pad work and just basically said that we owe Stephen A. Smith an apology for that, which I thought was funny. And Manny Pacquiao signed with Paradigm Sports Management Group, which also manages Conor McGregor. So that's also worth noting. That's going to be it for today's show, guys. Appreciate you tuning in. Check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and I'm available at MMAAlderbigger.com, BJPenn.com, and MMAratings.net. I'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the show. And I got to mention that myself and Cole Sheldon, we broke down UFC Rio Rancho and full yesterday. So definitely go back and check that podcast out if you have not already. Have a great day, guys, and I'll see you back tomorrow. Bye.